The landslide was extensive, stretching for hundreds of feet in both directions of the riverway. Wetting a finger, Ryan raised it, but couldn't feel any passage of air. They might be in a closed chasm, the air trapped here since before skydark.
Ace those lighters! No more flames until we're sure of the air supply!
Even as the two flames disappeared inside the war wag, something large dropped through the hatch to land next to Ryan. Uncoiling like a jungle cat, Christy slowly stood, her hands moving clumsily along the new rapid fire.
Hey there.
She smiled, then scrunched her face, puckered, and spat to the side. A bloody tooth hit the ground. Well, at least she didn't have to wait for the pliers anymore.
You okay?
Much better, actually.
Christy wiped some blood off her full lips, massaging her cheek to ease the discomfort. The pain was already fading. Walking closer to the vehicle, the woman checked the sides of the wag, then underneath.
Any hope of getting this free?
No way we're getting this bastard loose.
JB pointed into the shadows.
See there? The transmission is busted apart. Three of the axles are broken. All four of the tires on the right side are flat. Good thing the wag is armored top and bottom against landmines. That was what saved our asses.
If indeed we are saved, old friend.
And suddenly a backpack landed outside the wag. Setting the nuke lamp a safe distance from the edge of the ledge, Ryan and the others started ferrying the backpacks and assorted boxes away from the LAV. Food packs, ammo boxes, other supplies. During the process, Christy started taking small sips from her canteen at regular intervals and spitting red-tinted water into the river. After about an hour, she stopped doing it and began to hesitantly smile again. Doc hauled a rolled-up tent to the side pile.
Can't see a thing, dear lady.
It was a back molar, but thanks.
Mildred set down a metal box full of C4 blocks.
No hard foods for a few days, and add a little salt to the water you're using to rinse with until the bleeding stops.
Christy used a finger to pull back her cheek and expose the rear row of teeth.
It has stopped. The hole is already closed, see?
Well, so it has. Damn, you healed fast. Just lay off the beef jerky for a while to play it safe, okay?
Sure, no problem.
In short order, the LAV was empty, and the others descended. Obviously woozy from his head injury, Jack needed a little help from Mildred, and he gratefully sat once they reached the shelf.
River, mighty close. Any gators?
Just a rat so far.
Frowning, Jack pulled his Colt and checked the weapon.
Good.
In the harsh beam of the nuke lamp, the companions took stock of their supplies. There was plenty of food and water, and enough blasters and brass to take down a Baron. In fact, there was way too much for them to carry, even though a lot of things had been smashed in the landslide. Several cans of fuel had jarred open. The ground directly below the LAV soaked dark with the explosive fluid. Ryan scowled at the sight. The damn stuff didn't evaporate, so there was almost no smell. If they had jumped from the LAV with a lighter going, the whole ledge might have gone up, the flames rising directly into the wag like a chimney. He tried not to shiver. They would have been fried alive, with nowhere to run. That was close. An entire box of MREs was found soaked in the river, the envelopes intact, and floating down river out of reach like fat silver islands. Two bedrolls were missing, and a couple of the spare bolt-action BAR long blasters were damaged, their barrels bent out of alignment where something heavy had slammed onto them. The curve wasn't much, but the long blasters were rendered completely useless.
Save the brass.
Ryan darted forward and stood with the Styra in his hands. He gave the weapon a cursory inspection, then grudgingly slung it over his shoulder. It seemed okay, but it would be wise to depend on the 9mm 6-hour until he was able to field-strip the Styra to make sure it was undamaged. There were a lot of ways to leave this world, and the dumbest was to get blown open by your own weapon because the barrel was clogged with dirt. Doc tucked his ebony stick into his belt like a medieval sword.
What do we do now, my dear Ryan?
We have to travel by the river. There's no other path.
We can make a raft from the remaining four tires. Did it before, that time in the darks.
Had wood, damn. So we make do. You want to swim?
Jack looked at the murky river a few yards below them. The surface was stained with swirling colors from the spilled fuel, and jagged rocks rose from the water like the teeth of a submerged beast.
I don't.
I just hope this leads to the surface and doesn't go deeper underground. I want to be buried after I die, not vice versa.
Sorting out the items needed, the companions got to work. Getting the tires loose required some serious digging, but eventually the task was accomplished. JB and Jack used most of the nylon rope to lash the tires together as strongly as possible, with Doc adding the empty fuel cans underneath for a little extra buoyancy. A sheet of canvas was stretched over the collection, and a camo net was cut into squares to hold down their supplies. Opening a few MRE packs, the companions had a fast meal and made some hard decisions. They took most of the ammo that fit their blasters, one canteen of water each, six MREs each, and all of the grens they could carry.
What do we do with the rest?
Christy nudged a pile of claymore mines and two rocket launchers. Those had been the prize of the redoubt. Any Baron alive would trade everything he owned for just one of the launchers.
Leave it all.
Lashing the netting around the loose items, they tied the piles to the raft, trying to balance it by sheer guesswork. Stopping for a brief break, the companions then lashed the raft to the front winch. JB wired a nuke lamp to the electric motor, then lowered the raft over the side of the ledge and into the river. It landed and bobbed around for a few moments before leveling out. Knotting an extra rope at his waist, Ryan rappelled to the raft, then released the knot so that the nylon length could be drawn up again. By the time Christy descended, he was already lashed to a pile of supplies with a piece of seatbelt. While Christy did the same, JB joined them with the rebuilt nuke lamp, and soon everybody was on board. Jack rubbed the bandage on his head.
8 seat go.
JB folded his hat and tucked it away inside his leather jacket for safekeeping.
Just another wag.
I'm into a doubt. Last to base one.
Jack looked upward at the roof of the underground passageway. In his imagination, he saw through the umpteen tons of rock and steel, separating them from the treasures of the redoubt.
Say again?
Thinking we make that home. Everville needs a name, so I call it Blaster Base One.
Sure as hell had enough weps and brass to earn the title.
Something lashed about just below the mottled surface of the river. When the motion stopped, there was only the fading contrail of a snake or eel. There was no sign of the rat from before, but its absence did nothing to brighten JB's mood. He rested a hand on his Uzi machine pistol.
Stay sharp. We may have company.
Kata?
You tell me.
Christy's hair tightened protectively around her face as she tightened the rope about her middle.
I'm glad we have the raft.
Indeed, dear lady. I have smelled worse, but not by much.
Never been to Atlantic City, have you?
Mildred froze at the faint sound of something rustling in the darkness.
Is the LAV sliding loose?
Christy lifted the nuke lamp to play the beam around. Only small pieces of the LAV were visible from this angle, but the pieces of the shattered windshield reflected the light like a million tiny stars. No. Those weren't pieces of glass. They were eyes.
Fucking rats!
Ryan drew his blaster and started shooting at the vermin. A furry body exploded after being struck by the 9mm parabellum round, but the rest of the horde poured over the edge and down the embankment, streaming for the bobbing raft and its occupants. Sitting inside his mobile command post, Delphi watched as a ragged bunch of stickies shuffled out of the rocks and started hesitantly toward his vehicle. Rising from his chair, he reached up to take a small rectangular box from a clip on the ceiling where it had been recharging, then strode quickly to the armored door. The portal cycled open at his approach, then closed as he stepped through.
Ah, very good, my children. Excellent, in fact. I am most pleased.
Then the mob of stickies rushed forward, waving their sucker-covered hands and arms in an orchestrated attack pattern, several of the smaller muties breaking loose to try for a flanking maneuver.
Superb!
Then, calmly lifting the box, he pressed a button with his thumb, and a golden ray extended to wash over the charging muties. They stopped instantly and began to shake all over. An older sticky rolled her eyes and dropped dead. Two others fell to their knees, trembling uncontrollably. But four of the larger males and two females yet stood, their almost human faces staring quizzically into the golden beam of light.
Yes! Hear the message in your heads. Listen to the song inside your minds, my lost children, my pretty ones.
Delphi touched another control, boosting the signal. There was no reaction from two of the creatures, but the largest male waddled closer and looked down at the loose rocks on the ground. Then he stared back into the throbbing light and back down again at the rock. Delphi raised the power on the cybernetic machine.
Yes, that's it. Hear the song. Listen to the music. Learn. Think. Learn how to think.
Confused and frightened, the big sticky was breathing with difficulty, odd expressions moving across its slack features. Satisfied for the moment, Delphi released the inducer and used a different setting to send a soft green glow over the muties. Most of them crouched a little in sublimation to him in a crude bow. His eyes shimmering, Delphi smiled coldly at the gesture. Yes, they remembered him and were learning much faster than anybody could have ever dreamed. Not even Titan or the administrators of Operation Kronos. Bioweapons were toys in comparison to the staggering possibilities of the Stickies, and soon they would be ready to claim their heritage. Whipping out his sword, Doc slashed the anchoring rope, and the raft floated away from the bank. Crouching, Christie and Mildred unleashed their rapid fires to rake the stony ledge with 9mm rounds. Unstoppable, the rats dove into the water and swam after the companions like a boiling wave of hatred. Caught on the lazy current, the lumpy raft drifted into the middle of the river, the sizzling beams of the two nuke lamps stretching far ahead into the subterranean passage. Bits and pieces of pre-dark material showed below the surface of the running water, and pale roots carpeted the ceiling among the dripping stalactites. Roots? They were close to the surface, Christie realized, firing a short burst from her rapid fire. Certainly no more than 100 feet underground.
Little bastard smell blood.
JB added a burst from the Uzi. The machine pistol chattered away as he moved it in a fast figure-eight pattern. Furry bodies exploded, but more replaced them.
Yeah, our blood.
Ryan dropped a clip from the Sig Sauer and reloaded. With Christie's tooth and Jack's wound, every hungry thing down here was going to be coming after them soon, Ryan realized. Maybe even another Jelly Guardian. A fat rat jumped from the river onto the raft, and Doc whacked off its snarling head with his sword. He stabbed the silvery blade into the water again and again, scoring a kill each time. But there were always more rats to replace the dead. Moving away from the landslide, Ryan watched as the LAV disappeared from view, and he made a battlefield decision. Leaning dangerously over a stack of supplies held in place by netting, Ryan pumped an entire clip into the ledge. Dropping the spent clip into the river, he slammed in another and started shooting again. The rounds were ricocheting off the armored hull of the Warwag, throwing off bright sparks. Finally, he got the desired results. The damp ground burst into flames from the spilled fuel.
Mother of God, are you insane?
Mildred worked the bolt on her rapid fire to clear a jammed round. The bent cartridge came free and sailed away to bounce off a rat in the water and splash out of sight.
We'll find out soon enough.
The dancing light of the growing conflagration rapidly grew. The rats were caught by the flames. The noise of the rat's scream seemed to drive the other rats crazy. Grimly, Jack peppered the ceiling with his MP5, and Doc slashed at anything that moved in the river while the others quickly reloaded. Standing amid the stacks, Mildred and JB racked the disappearing shoreline with their rapid fires, while Christie concentrated on the rats already swimming their way. Holstering the Sig Sauer, Ryan took the S&W M4000 scatter gun from JB and racked the pump to blow a hellstorm of double-aught lead at the rats scurrying along the moist earth walls. The blast killed a dozen of the rodents and made a large section of the sodden dirt collapse, sending out waves of muck that almost swamped the homie raft. Just then, the natural curve of the river took the chasm out of sight.
Dark night. It didn't work.
JB fumbled in his munitions bag. Pulling out a military canister, the armorer yanked the pin, ripped off the safety tape, flipped away the handle, and threw the bomb as hard as possible. The canister just missed the stalagmite and hit the slick mud just above the water level and stayed there. Ryan placed both of his palms flat to his head.
Cover your ears! We've got about 4 seconds!
But that was as far as he got. A harsh yellow light flashed from around the turn, and the whole tunnel shook violently. That wasn't the Gren. The LAV had finally detonated. The surface of the water danced as writhing tongues of flame extended through the air. A stalactite dropped from the ceiling and stabbed into the river like an executioner's axe, just missing the raft by the thickness of a prayer. Rats fell stunned from the walls, and that was when the thrown canister of Willie Pete cut loose. The charge of white phosphorus blazed with searing light, then rapidly expanded outward in a burning death cloud, and actually seemed to force back the titanic explosion from the burning LAV for just a second. Then the irresistible force mastered the immovable object, and the companions were buffeted by the chaotic shockwaves of the conflicting explosive forces.